What about the layout of the house? Tell me what you remember. If it's still the same as Mrs. Oster's place, then you walk into a living room with an archway to a formal dining room. Harvey squinted as he tried to remember. The kitchen is in the back. Doug agreed. John's home office is the other window on the front porch, full of engineering books and a desk. I never went upstairs.
What about a basement or entry from the backyard?
No idea. It wasn't much to go on. An orderly house with a living room, an office up front, and a kitchen in the back. If there wasn't a way in through either a basement or the yard, they would have to storm the front door, the absolute worst possible option. He longed for some of his gear as a SEAL, even a handful of items from the sporting goods store he loaded up on before Jarvis tried to riddle him with bullets would be better than nothing. Too bad he'd be too weak to carry most of it. The rifles each man carried and Colt's handgun were the only weapons left. Colt thought about Danny and how she'd stormed up to those soldiers at the model home and pulled the trigger like it had been no more than a video game. She'd been prepared to kill that man over a cat she didn't even know. He frowned. Was that the life she could look forward to? Were they all destined to become mercenaries, out for vengeance or control? Colt brought the binoculars back up to his eyes. If they shot first, how different were they from Jarvis and his men? Still no movement. He turned to Harvey. We can't see anything from here. If the army is still inside, they've retreated to an interior room. We'll need to get closer, maybe even break in.
He paused to glance at Doug.
Are you both prepared to engage?
Doug and Harvey made eye contact across Colt. After a moment, Harvey nodded.
I am. If what you've said about Jarvis is true, he can't bring the grid online. If he controls the power, he'll control the entire town. He'll turn us all into his slaves.
Do you really think he's capable? Doug voiced his doubts. Won't some of the guardsmen rebel? Once the power's on, what can Jarvis really do?
Trying to convince a civilian about the sway a senior officer held over enlisted men wasn't easy, but Colt tried his best.
The men serving under Jarvis don't question orders. They follow orders.
Even if those orders are wrong?
Wrong is subjective. They teach you in boot camp to not even think about it that way. They teach you to do the job no matter what.
From the way his nose wrinkled as he thought, Doug still wasn't buying it.
How about we get closer, see if we can get a clearer view of the inside, and then decide what to do?
All right.
Harvey spoke up.
What if they spot us?
If they fire first, I sure as hell hope you both engage. I'll be fighting alongside you, but I can't take on 8 soldiers alone.
Doug checked the safety on his rifle.
If they shoot first, I'll back you up, but I'm not going in guns blazing.
Neither am I.
Harvey pulled his own rifle off his shoulder and held it in both hands.
But I won't leave you hanging.
It was the best Colt could expect in the circumstances. He didn't want to shoot first either. With any luck, they wouldn't need to fire a single round. The fewer firefights, the better. Colt and Danny couldn't hide under Jarvis's nose if they shot up every group of guardsmen they came across. Especially not some right down the street.
With a deep breath, Colt stood up. Let's do this.
He sketched out a rough plan to Harvey and Doug, and the three set off, one taking the front, one the rear, and one the side.
Colt crept up to the picket fence of the neighbor's yard and climbed over. Ducking behind a bush covered in bristled purple flowers, he checked again for movement inside. Nothing.
The longer they watched the house, the more his unease grew. Something wasn't right. Either the army was long gone with John and all the information they needed to reboot the university's grid, or something bad happened inside that house. Maybe both.
He motioned to Harvey, who waited at the side yard, to keep going after creeping around the front steps and up to the front corner of the Clifton's house. From his view, it appeared Harvey would have no luck in the side yard. All he could see were 2 windows above eye level and no door. Colt couldn't see Doug thanks to a backyard fence and a large evergreen, but he hoped the man hadn't chickened out.
Another few steps, and Colt made it to the porch. No noise, inside or out. Any number of neighbors could see him right now, but what choice did he have? It wasn't like they couldn't see Doug in the back either. With second-story windows on most of the houses on this side of the street, no speck of yard was safe from prying eyes. Colt took the porch stairs two at a time, avoiding the middle like Danny had done at her mother's apartment building. By now, any soldier worth a damn would be firing out the front window. They weren't inside. It wasn't possible. Colt strode to the front door and put his face right up to the leaded glass. He took in the scene, stepped back, wiped his face with his hand. Well, shit. Sticking two fingers in his mouth, Colt whistled high and sharp, and in seconds both Harvey and Doug appeared at the foot of the porch. Colt sucked in a breath before speaking. It's clear. The army is gone.
How do you know? You're still outside.
I just do. You two can head back. I can do a once-over, confirm there's no threat, and meet you at Harvey's place in an hour.
Doug stepped forward. No way. We all need to go in and clear it. How do we know you'll tell us the truth?
Colt kept his voice even. I'm just trying to spare you, that's all. Doug's gaze flitted past Colt to the front door.
From what?
No matter how bad it is, we need to go in as a team.
Harvey focused on Colt.
You've seen what Jarvis can do, but we haven't.
You should keep it that way.
We can't.
Colt nodded. Suit yourself, but don't say I didn't warn you. He turned around and busied himself with the front door. It opened with the turn of the knob.
I'd hold your breath.
Chapter 16. Danny. Wilkins Residence, Eugene, Oregon, 12 p.m. Danny paced behind the sofa, unable to sit still while Colt was away. She still didn't know why he disappeared in the middle of the night or hung out with those soldiers until the morning hours, but he seemed back on board now. She should be out there, helping him fight the bad guys, not stuck as a lookout. She knew he only threw out the protection line so she would stay. It barely worked. Crossing her arms, her steps turned into more of a stomp. Everything was all turned around. Doug and Harvey were off with Colt investigating a potential hostage situation. Melody was camped out in the kitchen with Gloria, cleaning the latest pickings from the garden. And Danny was stuck inside with nothing to do. Melody's words from earlier echoed in her head. If she was so willing to fight, why wasn't she out there fighting? Instead, she was in the kitchen chatting and laughing like nothing had changed. Didn't she see it was now or never? Every minute Jarvis and his men breathed, they amassed more power, weapons, food, gas, maybe even electricity. Soon they wouldn't be able to shoot their way out of an attack. Jarvis would come for them all, and Danny and Colt wouldn't survive. How lucky could two people be? The sound of feet scurrying on wood caught Danny's attention, and she stopped still. Will flew into the room, cheeks rosy and chest heaving.
You need to hide.
Why?
The army. They're in the backyard.
What? No way.
He gripped the doorway so hard, his knuckles showed white.
I saw them. They jumped the fence and fanned out real slow all around the oak. They're coming in.
Danny scanned the room for exits. If she hid in the basement, they would find her. She would be trapped. If she ran out the front door, she'd be gunned down in the street. There was nowhere to go. She reached for the rifle sitting on the coffee table.
Did they see you?
Will shook his head.
No, I was in the little back room, just sitting and staring out the window. No one can see me if I'm in the corner.
Danny nodded. She'd noticed the same thing earlier. Go get Melody and Gloria. Tell them what's happening. Will disappeared into the kitchen, and Danny rushed around the couch, crouching beneath the top. The soldiers would come from every angle they could, but would keep a low profile. Just like Colt said they would. Organized, quiet, slow. Melody appeared in the doorway with a baseball bat.
The guys took all the guns. Danny nodded. She was the only one armed. Help me barricade the living room. We need some cover. They worked together to flip the coffee table over, just as Gloria came running with garden shears in her hand. I told Will to hide in his room. He shoved himself in the closet with Lottie. What can I do? Both Gloria and Melody looked at Danny like she was the leader, when half an hour ago they thought she was crazy. Too late to hold grudges. They would all need to work to survive. She'd done it once against all odds. She could do it again. How good are your acting skills? What do you mean? How about you go out back and pretend to pick vegetables? They won't want to rush the house with you out there. It will buy us some time. Gloria glanced at Melody. Are you sure? Danny nodded. Okay, I can pick some beans. Danny didn't care what it was, as long as it got Gloria away from the action. The woman wasn't capable of fighting off more than a pesky fly. Melody tugged a chair across the room. Will that really buy us time? Danny shrugged. I have no idea. But they might not shoot an unarmed old woman picking vegetables. Melody nodded. Good thinking. She yanked on the other chair and dragged it to line up next to the first. Between the chairs, the upturned coffee table and the couch, they might be able to stop a few bullets. Danny wished she had a flamethrower or the fireworks from the cat. Anything to distract the incoming soldiers. Melody crouched behind the couch. Now what do we do? Danny's lips thinned into a line. Now we wait. Blood whooshed in Danny's ears, in and out, as if she sat on the ocean floor with high tide lapping above her head. Every second they sat on the floor, knees almost touching as they crouched below the cushions, her doubts grew. Where was Colt? Didn't they see the army closing in? She thought about his friendly visit with the man he called Larkin. Had Colt sold them out? Did he purposely lure Doug and Harvey away to leave the women exposed? After the way he clapped that soldier on the back and dismissed her like she meant nothing, Danny didn't know anymore. She clutched the rifle tight in her fingers. Screw Colt. If he was setting her up, then she'd take out as many soldiers as she could. If he wasn't, then he'd left her at the worst possible time. High-pitched shouts echoed in from the backyard. What are you doing? You can't just barge in there. Stop! Here we go. Danny rolled onto her knees and propped the rifle up on a cushion so the barrel just peeked over the back of the couch. Noise in the back of the house. The rattle of a door. Orders barked in low tones. Boots too heavy to be silent on the old floors. Get ready, Danny whispered to Melody, just as the first hint of camo eased into her field of view. She closed one eye and leaned into the scope. The trigger pulled so easily when she didn't have to hold the barrel aloft. Bam! The first round hit her target. The shoulder of a soldier. Bam! Bam! Two more hits as he staggered back. The man crumpled to the floor. You shot him! Danny didn't lift her head. Of course I did. Melody's response was silenced by a volley of gunfire. Danny and Melody ducked to a crouch beneath the sofa. Bullets flew over their heads to lodge in the drywall behind. Others pelted the couch and the chairs and the coffee table. Danny braced herself for impact, but nothing came. The furniture did the job. She sucked in a breath and popped back up, firing into the hallway without taking aim. More return fire. Damn it, it was worse than the apartment. There were too many of them, and Colt couldn't help. She crouched back down as more gunfire erupted. I'll never be able to kill them all. If the guys don't come back, we're going to die here. Then we'll have to hold them off as long as we can. Melody crawled over to the far edge of the couch. She wasn't as safe, but from the new vantage point, she could see more of the hallway.
I'll tell you when to fire.
Danny nodded and brought the rifle back into position.
Now!
Melody hissed out the word, and Danny fired into the hall. A grunt and a thud confirmed she'd hit another soldier. But this time they didn't stop. One, two, three, more. They all barreled into the room, shooting and running straight for her. There were too many to shoot. Too many to account for. Melody started screaming, and Danny spun in time to see one reach over the couch to grab her. Danny fired and hit him square in the chest. Blood splattered out his back, and he looked down at his chest, and the wound smack in the middle before collapsing on the cushions. Another came at her and she swung the rifle, but it was too late. He fired a handgun from 10 feet away and clipped her shoulder. Danny took the shot and almost fell over, but she managed to stay on her knees.
Take the girl alive! No direct hits!
The shout came from the hallway. She swore she recognized it. One of the soldiers from the apartment? The one on the street? Colt? Danny couldn't tell, but she knew it. Of that she was certain. Another soldier appeared in the hall, and Danny fired. They weren't going to take her alive. If they captured her, this would be a walk in the park in comparison to what Jarvis had planned. She couldn't let them win. All she could see was her mother's smiling face as soldiers dragged her back into the university building. Jeers from the soldier she wounded as they took her to some forgotten back room. No. It couldn't go that way. Danny rose up on her feet, staggering from adrenaline and the bullet wound and the weight of the rifle. She fired into the hallway, even though no soldier appeared. Melody shouted, but she couldn't listen. They had to die. All of them. The room grew dark and fuzzy around the edges, and her hold on the rifle slipped. What was that? She pulled her hand away from the grip. Her fingers didn't look like her own. They were red and slick and... Is that blood? She glanced down at her shoulder. Blood pumped from an open wound, coating her shirt and sleeve and fingers. So much for a graze. Danny snorted as she tried to pull the rifle up again. Damn thing was so heavy. The shouts retreated into the distance. Are they surrendering? Is it over? She half smiled as she thought about victory. As she blinked, the ground rose up to meet her. Wood planks slamming into her cheek as the room tilted 90 degrees. Melody hovered over her, lips moving. Danny couldn't hear her. She couldn't hear anything. Had all the soldiers left? Did they really do it? Were they free? Colt must have saved her. He must have saved them all like he'd done a million times before. She reached for Melody, fingers slipping off the other woman's shirt as she tried to speak. Melody leaned in, and a thick pressure wedged against Danny's shoulder. Another smile tipped her lips as the room went dark.
Chapter 17. Melody. Wilkins Residence, Eugene, Oregon, 12:30 p.m.
Get your hands in the air before I blow that pretty head of yours straight off.
Melody shoved the wadded-up dish towel tighter against Danny's wound and thrust her arms straight up. Thank goodness she'd accidentally carried the rag into the living room when all the commotion started. She glanced down at Danny again. The girl lost a lot of blood already, and her chest barely moved as she breathed. But she wasn't dead yet. Melody lifted her head and focused on the soldiers pouring into the room. Where had they all come from? She counted at least 10. Were Colt and her brother already captured? Did they even know what was going on? A million scenarios ran through Melody's mind. None of them good. If they took Danny away, The girl would never be seen again. After the hell Jarvis already put her through, Melody couldn't let that happen. She needed a diversion. The sea of soldiers parted, and a more senior man entered the room. As soon as Melody set her eyes on him, she knew he was in charge. She fell to the ground, whimpering and crying.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for coming.
He stopped on the other side of the couch, and she scrabbled at the cushions, trying to climb over them. The barrel of a rifle stopped her ascent.
Why are your hands not in the air?
Melody shoved her hands back up and blubbered.
I'm sorry. I'm just so happy you're here. You finally rescued us from these horrible people.
What are you talking about?
Colt and that girl. They took us hostage. We've been their prisoners for days.
She blinked and forced her eyes extra wide.
You saved me?
The soldier raised an eyebrow, and his thick, meaty face twisted sideways.
Colt, you say?
Melody bounced her head up and down like a puppet.
Yes, that's what she called him.
Describe the man.
Big guy, dressed in all black. Looked kind of beat up, but he was still really strong.
She sniffed.
He hit me in the stomach and broke a rib. If you hadn't come, I don't know what would have happened. He's already killed my brother and Gloria's husband. I think...
She shook her head like she couldn't say any more.
Spit it out.
I think he wanted to use us as whores.
She nodded at Danny's unconscious form.
He kept saying she was too young to be much good. But Gloria and I were just his type.
The soldier's lips thinned as he focused on Danny, pocked skin distorting with concentration.
What's her name?
I don't know. He never called her by name. The one time she used his, he smacked her pretty good for it.
The man seemed satisfied.
Well, then it looks like we came just in the nick of time.
He motioned to one of his men.
Private, take that girl back to the Humvee. We can fix her up back at base.
Melody shook her head.
There's no point. She's dead.
He paused.
How do you know?
I'm a veterinary technician. She stopped breathing the second she hit the ground. The bullet hit a major artery.
She pointed at the blood on her shirt.
See all the blood?
The soldier's eyes narrowed.
Check her pulse one more time.
Melody winced like she didn't want to touch her, but reached out and felt her neck. After a moment, she shook her head.
Nothing.
She reached for her eyelids and pulled them back. Danny's eyeballs didn't even flutter.
See? She's gone.
Satisfied, the soldier waved his men out of the room.
Search the rest of the house. Confiscate any weapons.
It's just me and Gloria.
He smiled.
For your sake, I hope that's true.
Melody swallowed as the man stuck out his hand.
Captain Ferguson, pleasure to meet you.
Not even a smile turned the captain handsome. She took it, and he hauled her up.
Melody Harper, thank you again.
You said you're a vet tech?
She nodded.
What do you know about human injuries?
She shrugged.
Most aren't that different. Why?
You might be some use to us back at base. We're low on doctors.
I'd be happy to help.
Melody smiled as the captain ushered her out of the living room and into the kitchen. She couldn't do any more for Danny. As long as the girl stayed unconscious until they left, she had a chance. If Colt, Doug, and Harvey were still alive, they would find her. Gloria sat at the kitchen table, her wrists bound together with zip ties. Captain Ferguson motioned for them to be removed. The second the plastic was cut away, Gloria tucked her hands close to her chest. Melody looked at her, hoping she conveyed the need to stay silent with a stare. Gloria frowned and glanced down at her hands, saying nothing. Melody exhaled. Was it too much to ask for to make it out of there alive without Will, Lottie, or Danny's heartbeats being discovered? She stood in the kitchen, waiting awkwardly while the captain conversed with his men. Blood smears across the floor showed where they dragged their fallen comrades. He flashed a hollow smile at Gloria.
I hear this is your house.
Yes.
I'm sorry to have caused such a mess, but from what Melody says, you two are lucky to be alive.
Gloria glanced at Melody.
I suppose so.
Well, we're happy to bring you back to the university. With Melody's medical skills and your apparent gardening expertise, I'm sure Colonel Jarvis will welcome you to stay.
Her eyes went wide, but the older woman managed to nod.
Thank you.
Anytime.
A soldier rushed up and spoke too low in the captain's ear for Melody to hear. In a moment, he smiled.
Well, everything checks out. I guess you two really were being held hostage. In the basement, no less.
He shook his head.
Just goes to show you, the military are the only people you can really trust.
Gloria snorted and covered it up with a cough as she reached for her water. After she drank, she focused on Melody.
Sorry, frog in my throat.
The captain flashed the same hollow smile.
If you two will follow me, I can escort you to our vehicles. I hope you don't mind a bit of a walk. We're staged a few blocks away.
No problem, right, Gloria?
Gloria nodded.
A little exercise will do me good.
Melody held out her arm, and Gloria slipped hers into it. The pair of them walked a few steps behind Captain Ferguson, with another soldier picking up the rear. They tramped through the Wilkinsons' backyard and a new hole in the fence before entering another neighbor's yard. From there, they wound around trees and bushes and side yards before finally emerging on a street Melody hardly ever drove down. A single military vehicle sat on the curb, driver waiting. Gloria dug her fingers into Melody's arm as they approached. She leaned close and whispered,
"Please tell me you know what you're doing."
The captain's head tilted a bit to the right, and Melody spoke a little too loud.
"These men have saved us, Gloria. The hell of the past few days is finally over."
As the captain stopped outside the truck, he smiled at Melody, and his eyes lit up.
"After you, ladies."
Melody helped Gloria into the truck and climbed in behind. Before the captain could hear, she stuck her lips right on the other woman's ear.
"Just follow my lead, okay?"
Gloria nodded as Melody fell into her own seat. The captain slipped into the front passenger seat, and the driver fired up the engine. Gloria squeezed her hand as they all drove away.
Day 24. Chapter 18. Colt. Clifton Residence, Eugene, Oregon. 1 p.m. As soon as Colt pushed the door open, the stench of drying blood assaulted his nose and he brought an arm up to cover his face. He stepped inside with Doug and Harvey a few paces behind. The body of a woman was sprawled on the floor, clothes torn and bloody. Her head twisted in an unnatural angle, and her clouded eyes stared straight at him, vacant and empty. "Jesus," Doug staggered beside him.
"I take it that's Angela Clifton."
Harvey nodded.
"It was."
Colt approached the body, careful to avoid the coagulated blood. A chair sat against the far wall, duct tape still hanging from the sides like flaccid sails.
"They made the husband watch."
Colt stood up.
"I'll clear the house."
He searched every room, although he knew they would be empty. No soldiers, no John Clifton. They tortured and killed his wife and dragged him out of here, most likely still breathing. Where they were headed, Colt could only guess. The Central Power Station? Jarvis's headquarters? A field in the middle of nowhere to put a bullet between John's eyes? If the threats to his wife didn't spur him to action, Colt wasn't sure what would.
He returned to the living room in time to see Doug close Angela's eyes. He looked up and met Colt's stare.
I believe you now,
Colt nodded. He wished the trust had come another way. We need to get back and regroup.
What about John?
We have to hope he either can't do what they need or that they'll kill him before he breaks. His wife is dead, so torturing her didn't work. It means we have some time. He didn't want to voice all the other thoughts in his head, how Jarvis would be furious and out for blood, how he might drop the hammer on the entire neighborhood in retribution. From the way Jarvis callously ordered his soldiers to kill anyone who caused a problem, Colt didn't hold out much hope for John or the rest of them. Not now. This wasn't a routine inspection, it was an invasion, a brutal seek-and-capture mission that spoke of things to come. He motioned toward the front. Let's get back. I don't have a good feeling about this. They went out the way they came in, right through the front door. No one on the street, no window blinds or curtains fluttering as they walked by. How many other houses had the army already invaded? How many were actually standing guard over decomposing bodies inside? That was the thing about enforced curfews and confinement. Reducing the flow of information was an effective strategy to keep law and order with a minimum of security. If you thought your neighbor was complying, and the one after that, and the one after that, you did too. Colt had seen it all before. No one wanted to speak out against the terrorists occupying a village when those same terrorists would bring food and water, or a bullet to the head, depending on the day. Jarvis was operating exactly like the groups the army fought against halfway around the world. Fear and salvation all wrapped up into one. Colt strode down the street, daring a soldier to kill him in broad daylight. It wouldn't happen. He understood their game plan now. Appear like a benevolent dictator when behind the scenes the brutality kept everyone in line or killed the rabble-rousers. No one would kill him on this quiet residential street with the neighbors watching. They would do it somewhere away from people, like the sporting goods store where no one could see, or the abandoned apartment buildings closer to campus. Not here where Jarvis hoped to recruit happy workers, eager to trade labor and obedience for food, shelter, and basic survival.
What are you doing?
Doug hustled to catch up with him, head darting back and forth as he surveyed the street.
Walking.
Aren't you worried?
Not anymore. Not here.
Colt bounded up the steps to Harvey's place and waited. He expected Melody or Gloria to open the door.
Nothing.
Harvey climbed the stairs a moment later, too slow to keep pace with younger men. He frowned as he stuck the key in the lock and pushed the door open.
Oh, no.
Colt stuck out his arm and motioned Harvey back as he pulled his SIG out of his belt. Screw the rifle. The chairs and coffee table were upended. Bullet holes riddled the walls. A smear of blood on the carpet trailing down the hall. An ambush. Just like the Clifton's place. All while Colt was gone. Harvey stepped in behind him.
Oh my God, Gloria! Will!
He called out, cupping his hands around his mouth. A moan wafted up from the other side of the couch, and Colt rushed over, knocking the coffee table out of the way and scattering the chairs as he dropped to his knees.
Danny!
He reached for her, about to shake her awake, when he saw the blood.
So much blood.
No! It bloomed across her shirt and covered her chest. She mumbled, but he couldn't make out the words. The wound was somewhere on her left side. He hated to move her, but he had to find it. Gingerly, he explored his meaty fingers, not the most delicate. She groaned as he touched her shoulder. Bingo. Danny was shot. A rag, soaked in blood, was wedged between her shirt and the wound.
Melody. It had to be.
Colt looked up, locked eyes with Doug.
Grab me a cloth. Towel, shirt, anything, quick!
Doug nodded and rushed off. He came back moments later with a white dish towel from the kitchen.
Is she going to make it?
I don't know, but your sister helped her.
Colt tore Danny's shirt wide and pulled out the soaked cloth. Blood oozed from the wound. He pressed the new one down hard and tight.
Melody's the only one who would know how to slow the bleeding like that.
The house is clear,
Harvey rushed in, shaking his head.
No one else is here.
Colt leaned back on his heels as his mind spun. What could have happened?
How did they not hear it, see it, expect something like this?
This is my fault. I should have known not to leave them here exposed.
He pressed down on Danny's shoulder, willing the blood to slow.
Please survive. Don't die on me.
Doug crouched beside him, balancing on the balls of his feet.
It looks like they left her for dead.
Colt frowned.
They must have. But one touch of her neck and they would have felt her pulse. And Melody must have covered for her. She could have played it off and told them Danny was already dead.
Colt nodded. It made sense.
So who did this? Who broke in here and shot the place to hell while we were on a pointless mission down the street?
The army. It must have been.
Then why leave a body behind? Why not take her to show to Jarvis? He's got to want Danny as badly as he wants me. It doesn't make any sense.
Colt looked back down at Danny. He'd come to think of her as so much more than just a girl he saved on the street, so much more than a tag-along in his life. He thought about the night at the model house, how he'd called her some punk kid and told her to get lost. In all the chaos since, he'd never apologized. He'd never explained that he only said those words to Larkin to save her. She might die thinking he didn't care, but he cared so damn much. Danny had become the closest to a daughter he would ever have. She'd fought for him, risked her life for him, even dragged him to safety when she could have left him on the street to die. He couldn't lose her, not this way, not because of his mistake. She looked so young, lying there on the floor. Colt leaned over, whispering in her ear,
"Come on, Danny. You can pull through this. I need you to live, please."
Her eyelids fluttered as a series of yips and barks flooded the room. Lottie bounded up to Colt, jumping up and down and barking.
"Lottie, where did you..."
"We hid in the closet under the eaves of my room."
Will stood in the hall, clutching the doorway trim in his hands.
"She stayed nice and quiet. Didn't even bark once."
Harvey hurried to the boy and wrapped him up in a hug, practically crushing him against his chest as he lifted him off the floor.
"I'm so glad you're all right."
Colt waited until Harvey let go of his grandson.
"Will, do you know what happened?"
The kid nodded with an earnestness Colt had never seen in him before.
"I do, and I want to help."
Chapter 19. Melody. University of Oregon Campus. Eugene, Oregon. 5 p.m. The sight of so many lights after almost a month without power struck Melody almost dumb. The hum of generators in the parking lot confirmed it was temporary at best. But still, she marveled as she walked down the hall. She glanced down at the hand assertively steering her forward. Maybe walk was too generous a word. With a snort, she glanced at the soldier escorting her along. He could have been a decade younger, barely out of high school, with a wisp of facial hair that didn't need shaving. She leaned into his hand. "Where are we going?" He didn't even look at her, just kept dragging her along. As they rounded a corner, a gaggle of people appeared and the soldier slowed. Another guardsman sporting crutches and an air boot jerked his head in Melody's direction.
"Who's she? Fresh meat?"
He snickered, and his buddies joined in, whispering amongst themselves and laughing. The hair on Melody's arms rose, and she clamped her teeth together to keep from chattering. "I can get through this." Sooner or later, Doug and Colt would find Danny and Will, and they would know what happened. They would rescue her and Gloria. Risking a glance behind her, she scanned the hall for Gloria, but the older woman was nowhere to be seen. As soon as they crossed through the checkpoint at the university, the driver dropped Gloria off with another soldier at a different building, then hopped back in the Humvee and drove Melody to what appeared to be the main base. Then she'd been dumped in a holding room and told to wait until the soldier walking her down the hall appeared. He stopped short outside a door. "Wait here. Don't move." He knocked twice and entered after a barked, "Come in!" from the other side. Melody sagged against the wall and sucked in her first full breath in hours.
"Is it true?"
Melody blinked. A woman stood a few paces away, eyes roving over Melody's body from head to toe. Her brown hair framed her face in a long pixie cut that swooped over her eye and tapered to her chin. Her dress looked brand new. Only her eyes seemed old and tired, as if beneath all the cute clothes and perfect makeup, she could barely stay awake. Excuse me? Did you really come from some shootout with the army? Melody offered the story she'd invented that afternoon while sitting in the waiting room. I was a hostage. These people busted into my neighbor's house while I was checking on her and took us prisoner. The army liberated us. The woman raised an eyebrow. You some college smarty pants with your fancy vocabulary? No. Melody's brow dipped low in annoyance. I'm a vet tech. What's it to you? I heard there was a girl involved. Scrappy little thing. Dirty hair, snub nose. Real pain in the ass. The woman crossed her arms, and the checkered pattern of her sheath dress wrinkled. Did she make it? You mean... Melody almost said Danielle, but caught herself just in time. The girl who tried to kill me. She shrugged it off like she didn't know. I think she's dead. The army shot her. That's how I got away. The woman didn't even blink. You're sure she's dead? As much as I could be. I didn't feel a pulse. But what's she got to do with you? Nothing now, thank God. It's about time she got what she deserved. Melody shook her head in confusion. They couldn't be talking about the same girl. She played along. Did she do something awful to you too? The woman snorted. You could say that. The ungrateful little brat had the nerve to be born. Melody's eyes went wide, and her tongue turned to bricks in her mouth. She was your daughter. Yeah. Guess I finally don't have to worry about whether she'll turn me into the cops. The woman snorted. Not that the cops ever listened to Danielle anyway. The door to the room beside them opened, and Melody jumped. Her army escort appeared and waved her inside. Danielle's mother watched from the hall, the faintest hint of relief on her face. Melody couldn't believe it. She knew Danny had a rough upbringing. But if that witch of a woman was her mother, Melody felt for the girl something fierce. Colt rescuing her had been the best thing to happen to Danny in a long time. Melody hoped like hell her emergency wound dressing staunched the worst of the bleeding, and that what she told Danny's mother wasn't true. Danny needed to live. Not just for Colt's sake, but so she could show that worthless mother of hers what survival looked like. Melody sucked in a lungful of air and stepped into the room where the escort waited. A waiting area opened up before her, with two chairs and an end table in between. At one time, it must have been a reception room for a student dean or a professor. Through another open door, Melody caught a glimpse of a desk, chair, and a large man barking orders. His gray hair glinted in the overhead light, and Melody clenched her fists. Jarvis. It had to be. After a moment, another soldier scurried out, and the man inside waved her in. She stopped a foot away from a massive wood desk.
Thank you, Sergeant. You may go.
The soldier scurried out the door as fast as a human could go. The man behind the desk stood, his broad shoulders eclipsing the rows of books behind him. A professor's office for sure. He skirted the desk and stuck out a meaty hand.
Colonel Malcolm Jarvis, it's a pleasure to meet you.
Melody mustered up a smile. Melody Harper. Sweat coated his palm, and Melody resisted the urge to wipe hers on her jeans as she pulled away. I wanted to thank you for rescuing us this morning, sir. I don't know how you knew we were in trouble, but words can't begin to express my gratitude. Jarvis swelled under the praise and lowered himself onto the edge of his desk. He perched like a cat who'd just swallowed a canary whole.
No thanks necessary, my dear. My men were doing their jobs.
Well,
They earned my support. As soon as the words came out, she knew she'd made a mistake. She tried to smile.
Was there ever a time we didn't have it?
Oh, no. I just meant that you're definitely doing a great job here. She glanced around the room and tried to swallow the massive lump in her throat. It didn't budge. I'm still in a bit of shock, to be honest. Melody leaned closer and dropped her voice. It all happened so fast. Nothing like the movies. Jarvis's big, booming laugh broke the tension in the room.
No. The gritty reality of army life is nothing like they show on TV, is it? Not that we'll have to worry about that much anymore.
He motioned toward a chair.
Sit. Get comfortable.
Melody eased into one of the two upholstered chairs and dug her fingers into the soft chenille. Any sign of the man who held us hostage? Jarvis stared at her for a moment before answering.
How much do you know about him?
She shook her head as if she didn't know. Not much. The girl called him Cole or Colt or something like that. He seemed to know his way around weapons. Always had one on him at all times. Threatened me with a handgun. She swallowed, like it took effort to tell the story. He even put it up to the side of my head. Melody touched her temple. Right here. Jarvis nodded.
Colt Potter is a very dangerous man. I'm surprised he didn't threaten anyone else.
Melody offered another rehearsed story. We think he might have killed Gloria's husband, Mr. Wilkins. He ran the bookshop in town. One day, he just didn't come home. She glanced up, fear in her eyes. Do you think he could have done such a thing? Is that how he knew where to find Gloria's house?
It very well could be.
Jarvis leaned forward, and Melody caught the faint smell of men's cologne, all cedar and musk. She forced her spine to stay rigid as the colonel took her by the hand. His eyes rose up to meet hers. So close, she could make out a ring of brown in his blue eyes.
Tell me, Melody, what were you doing at your neighbor's house to begin with? You have to know visiting is against the rules.
She swallowed and let the tremor in her hand echo across Jarvis's palm. Gloria isn't well. Early Alzheimer's. I was afraid if someone didn't watch her, she would wander off and not know how to get back home. He smiled. And her skin crawled.
How noble of you.
What you're doing is the noble thing. Helping our town and keeping people like me and Gloria safe. That's the real heroic work. Jarvis ran his thumb across the back of Melody's hand in a caress.
How about I ask my chief of staff to bring us dinner in my private quarters? We could get to know each other better.
Bile hit the back of Melody's throat. And she struggled not to grimace. I don't want to waste your time. I'm sure you're super busy.
Not so busy that I'd ignore a beautiful woman like yourself. I'm sure it's been a while since you've had a hot-cooked meal, right?
It has, but... Melody used her free hand to tuck a lock of hair behind her ear. She had to get out of there. The way Jarvis leered at her and stroked her hand only meant one thing. And Melody had no desire to take part. He leaned even closer.
Or we could skip dinner and go straight to something a little more satisfying.
A sharp double knock sounded on the exterior door, and Jarvis dropped Melody's hand. He stood up, and she let out the breath trapped in her lungs.
What is it?
Sir.
The same escort from before poked his head around the door.
We've got a problem.
Chapter 20. Melody. University of Oregon Campus. Eugene, Oregon. 6 p.m. The second Lucas Shaw's sandy hair appeared in the doorway, Melody knew her life was about to go to complete and utter crap. She stood up, backing away from Colonel Jarvis and the desk, and toward a credenza full of some former professor's files. He was probably dead.
just like Melody would be if Lucas's self-righteous grin was deserved. Captain Ferguson, soldier in charge of the ambush at the Wilkinson's home, led Lucas into the room. Lucas was so smug and sure of himself, practically beaming at Melody. She resisted the urge to stick her tongue out. Instead, she held herself still, arms clasped in front of her as she waited. Running wasn't possible. Neither was screaming for help. The only people around were loyal to Jarvis. She had to hang her hopes on a man without a backbone whom she never trusted. Colonel Jarvis focused his attention on Captain Ferguson.
"This better be good. I said no interruptions. This man has information about Colt Potter and your guest, sir."
Jarvis waved him off.
"I've already heard it. You're wasting my time."
Lucas's mouth fell open.
"You know she's a traitor?"
Jarvis raised an eyebrow.
"I didn't give you permission to speak."
Lucas paled, and Melody ground her teeth together. The captain continued.
"He claims that Colt, this woman's brother, and the other woman's husband are all alive and working together. They were never hostages." "Is that so?"
Lucas hesitated, eyes darting back and forth.
"Has someone cut out your tongue? Speak."
Yes, sir. That's right, sir."
Lucas pointed at Melody.
"Whatever she's told you, it's a lie." "How do you know this?"
"Because I saw Colt this morning. He was at Melody's house with her brother, when..."
Lucas paused and glanced at the soldier beside him.
"When Captain Ferguson led the raid on the Cliftons, I went to Doug's house. I wanted to know what he knew, what he had planned."
"So far, all I'm hearing is that you broke the rules."
Lucas swallowed, and his Adam's apple bobbed.
"I didn't trust Colt. Harvey rescued him and that girl a few days ago. They'd been hurt really bad in some run-in with your men. Melody's the one who patched Colt up."
Jarvis turned his attention to her. He stared, a new appraisal in his eyes.
"Is that right?"
Melody didn't move, didn't speak, didn't dare even breathe. After a moment, Jarvis resumed his interrogation.
"What happened next?"
"They all worked together. The Wilkinses, Melody and her brother, Colt and the girl. Planning."
Lucas became more and more animated the more he spoke, outlining all the events that led up to that morning, highlighting all the times Melody agreed with Colt.
"She wanted to go across the street and stop your men. She wanted to bust the door down and save Angela and John."
Jarvis's lips curled in near amusement.
"Why didn't she?"
"Colt wouldn't let her. Said it was a suicide mission. That if they were going to take you down, then they needed to pick their battles."
Now Jarvis laughed. Not as throaty and raucous as before, but almost as loud.
"Take me down? Potter actually said that. I'd like to see him try."
Jarvis asked a few more questions, drilling down into the details of the past 12 hours. At last, he seemed satisfied. He stepped away from Lucas, navigating around the chairs to stop in front of Melody.
"It seems you've taken a few liberties with your facts, Miss Harper."
She swallowed, her throat so scratchy and dry, spit stuck to the sides. She coughed. "Lucas only wants to save himself. He's a selfish bastard." Jarvis tilted his head.
"Are you saying he's a liar?"
Jarvis smiled.
"Should be easy enough to prove. My men could head back to the house right now. If that girl's body is right where you left it, then we'll know you're telling the truth. We can bring it back here for safekeeping. Her mother might want a funeral, after all."
Melody swallowed. There was no way out. If she insisted Lucas was lying, Jarvis's men would go back to the house. If Danny was still there, they would kill her for real. If she wasn't, then Colt and Doug would be in danger. She didn't know what to do. At last, she exhaled. "Lucas is a bastard.
but he's not a liar. This time. Jarvis nodded and turned back to Lucas, who practically preened.
Is there anything you've left out? Any detail you haven't mentioned?
No. I've told you everything I know.
Good.
In one fluid motion, Jarvis unholstered his sidearm and brought it up to arm level. He fired a single shot. The bullet hit Lucas Shaw directly in the left eye and exploded out the back of his skull. Blood and brain matter flew in all directions, splattering everything from the walls to Captain Ferguson to Melody's shirt. Lucas stood, suspended for a moment like a marionette on strings, before crumpling to the floor in death. Screaming filled the air, and it took Melody a moment to realize it came from her. She clamped her hands over her mouth, smearing Lucas's blood all over her cheeks and lips. Ferguson wiped a sleeve across his face.
What should I do with her, sir?
Jarvis holstered his gun and turned to Melody like he'd just dispatched a pesky fly, not a human being.
Put her in the hole. A few days in the dark ought to soften her up.
The captain ran his tongue over his lip, licking off flecks of blood.
Can we have some fun with her first? I've got a few men who are eager for a little action.
Colonel Jarvis sneered.
Of course. Use one of the rooms in Building C. They're all set up, right?
Ferguson nodded and turned to Melody. She scrambled back, bumping into the credenza and toppling over a chair as she tried to get away. Ferguson reached for her, but she dodged, sending the other chair crashing to the ground. She couldn't let him catch her. She couldn't let... Boom. A gunshot rang out, and Melody froze. Jarvis pointed the barrel straight at Melody.
I'd hate to ruin a pretty face, but next time I won't miss.
She stood still as the captain took her by the arm. Jarvis eased around the desk and sat down as if his office wasn't trashed and there wasn't a dead body oozing blood into the carpet.
On your way out, tell the sergeant to get in here with a cleaning crew and fix this mess. Yes, sir.
The captain dragged Melody to the door, sidestepping the darkening floor.
Oh, and Ferguson.
Jarvis waited for a moment.
As soon as you've had your fun, take another team out to the house. Burn it down. Yes, sir.
Melody paled. They were going to burn Gloria's home? She thought about all the years Harvey and Gloria lived in that house. The massive oak tree in the backyard. Oh, no. What about Lottie and Will? This is all my fault. If I hadn't insisted on doing something about Angela and John. Colt and Doug would have been home to help in the ambush. Maybe they wouldn't have been attacked at all. It would have been a fair fight. Danny wouldn't have been shot. Lucas wouldn't be dead. She frowned and let the soldier steer her back the way she came. Everything that happened that day was because she wouldn't let it go. She'd been too busy worrying about her neighbors to think about her own family. To think about the Wilkinsons, or Colt and Danny. Now poor Lottie would be on her own. Will would never see his grandmother again. Danny might die. Melody wallowed in a flood of pity and despair, dragging her feet along the corridor a step or two behind the captain. He jerked her toward a set of double doors, and she stumbled.
Perk up, Buttercup. You're about to catch the last glimpse of sunshine you'll see for a long, long time.
He shoved the door open and hauled her down a short flight of stairs. Instead of sun, they were met with clouds and mist.
Ah, guess it's not your lucky day, is it?
He laughed to himself and dragged Melody across a parking lot to a squat building on the edge of a grassy quad.
The spoiled little brats who went to this school used this as a dorm. But we've done some repurposing since we've taken it over.
He leaned in toward Melody's cheek, and she shied away.
You get to be the first.
She risked a glance in his direction. The first for what? Ferguson's eyes gleamed with lust and menace.
You'll see.
He hauled her up another 3 steps and slammed his fist on the solid metal door. It opened after a few seconds.
What is it?
First recruit.